Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's almost baseball season. It's almost finally here. If you're like me, you're probably done with spring training at this point in time. Although the weekend, it was fun. It was fun to watch some of the position battles. And now you're starting to see the rosters get trimmed down to 26. We're going to talk about that. We'll also start previewing the regular season. And who's the biggest threat to the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers? We'll talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Steve Bordstein. Always kind enough to join us, Steve. I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again.
Oh, thank you for the time, and I'm so glad you said the Dodgers thing the correct way. I have told all of my friends, all of my colleagues, that for the next 7 months, the Dodgers are only to be referred to as the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. That's the only way you can properly refer to them now, and I'm going to enjoy that for the next 7 months.
Yeah, I was hanging out with some of my baseball friends over the weekend, and every time a Dodger player was mentioned to me, be it, well, did you see Clayton Kershaw's velocity's down a bit? Hey, that's World Series champion Clayton Kershaw, and yes, I saw that. But look, we're talking about March here, so let's relax. Steve, with that being said, look, this is a powerful team of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and if you polled 100 baseball analysts, I'm going to go out on a limb and say 95 probably picked the Dodgers to win the World Series. Really, I think it's that high. I mean, all bias aside, those who listen know you're a Dodger guy, I'm a Dodger guy, but they have put together a really powerful team. And I know that the San Diego Padres happen to be probably the most talked about team of the offseason just based off of the really aggressive moves that they made. However, when I sit and I dissect everything that happened in spring training, and I look at the rosters, and I run numbers, I don't believe the San Diego Padres are the biggest threat to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And you can tell me if I'm wrong here or not. In my mind, the best offensive team in the National League, it very easily may be the New York Mets. And this is a team that I know they're the little brother to the New York Yankees. I understand that. But when you look at what they did this year, and you look at a lineup of Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil and Michael Conforto, and you can throw in a Brandon Nimmo, and then you look at you know what they can have, we can't forget about Francisco Lindor. I just look at this Mets team and say, okay, this team right here is the biggest threat to the Dodgers in the National League.
And you could throw the Braves in there because we're familiar with what they did last year, and they're only going to get better, right? But I agree. I agree. The Mets are exciting as far as what they bring to the table as far as their batting is concerned. My issue is going to be their bullpen because it has been their Achilles heel for the last several years now. Multiple Mets relievers have come in with great arms. They got great stuff, but they just don't do well. So they're going to depend on guys like Betances, Familia, Diaz. They're going to need those guys to step up because it's great that you can score 7-8 runs a game, and especially now adding Lindor to that lineup. But if you can't protect a 3-run lead in the last two innings of a ball game, that's going to be a problem. And I think that's the only problem I have with the Mets is just that shaky back end of that rotation and that shaky bullpen.
Yeah, and I think when you get someone like a Seth Lugo back, it's going to help bolster that bullpen. There are question marks there, there's no doubt. But when we talk about pitchers, they got the best pitcher in baseball in Jacob deGrom. And I can take this whole thing one step further. The Dodgers will end with the best record in the National League. I think the Mets end with the second best record. And if that is the case and Jacob deGrom wins Cy Young, good chance this guy's the MVP as well. So I hope that even the casual baseball fans understand what type of player we are watching in Jacob deGrom. This is an all-time great, Steve, and they finally have provided this guy, and I know it's one pitcher, but they have finally provided him enough offensive firepower to give him some freaking run support.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what, and that's the one thing that, again, he's been lacking. And how good is Lindor going to be? I mean, he is a spectacular player. He's a one of a kind talent, and to add him to that Mets lineup is going to be spectacular to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, we don't spend a ton of time talking about the American League, you and I, so I want to make sure we dive into that just a bit. If we talk about the Dodgers being the best team in the National League, Who's the best team in the American League? Is it as clear cut and dry as saying, yeah, it's the New York Yankees. You know, if they stay healthy, we're talking about a team with Gerrit Cole. We're talking about Jameson Taillon, a kid I loved in Pittsburgh, and they gave him to the Yankees for next to nothing after really rehabilitating this kid. They have Corey Kluber. They have Luis Severino, who should be back sooner than later. So when you look at what the Yankees can provide, I haven't even talked about their offense because we know that already. But is this the best team in the American League?
It's the best team in the American League, but man, and I get it, it's every team, right? You have to stay healthy. But how many more years are we going to watch, you know, Stanton or Judge miss 50 to 60 games? How many more years do you have to deal with that before you start questioning their long-term durability? And especially this year, right? Because this year, unlike the truncated 60-game season of last year, this is a grind. This is not the sprint that we saw in 2020. This is not the short race. This is the long haul here. So missing 50, 60 games is equivalent to missing, what did we talk about it last year? When it was, if you missed 20 games, it was like missing 40 or 50 in a regular season.
Right.
So, you know, you have to keep these guys healthy. And what happens with the roster, I'm glad you mentioned it a few minutes ago when you opened the segment about, you know, the opening day roster. Don't be alarmed when your favorite baseball team doesn't have one of your favorite players on its opening day 26-man roster. It's not about April or May. It's about August, September, and October. Because I know we're going to deal with that with the Dodgers in particular. There's a couple of players who aren't going to make that opening day roster. I'm not interested in April or May. I'm interested in July through August, through September, through October. So it's going to be, that's the thing with the Yankees is as talented as they are, LeMahieu, Cole on the hill. You've got Stanton. You've got Judge. You've got so many just gigantic name players. Can they stay healthy? And can that durability, how much is that durability going to be a factor? It's going to be a calendar 2 years since we've played a full 162-game schedule. Guys are going to get fatigued. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys, there's going to be that fatigue factor that's going to come into play like it always does in those dog days of summer, Jordan. It's going to be, those are going to be the rough times for some of these teams that have depth issues, particularly on the pitcher's mound and particularly on the power end of your lineups.
Again, Steve Bortstein, our guest right now, as we talk the start of the Major League Baseball season. And Steve, when you mention depth and you mention favorite players not being on opening day rosters, or maybe young, exciting talent not being on opening day rosters, the first team that pops into my mind is the Washington Nationals. This is a team that has a lot of depth, and I think the Nationals have been written off. When I look at this pitching rotation, you got Max Scherzer. I think we have a healthy Steven Strasburg. Patrick Corbin, we know what he's capable of doing. You have Joe Ross, and you have John Lester. And even though Lester's not the Lester of old, when he's your number five, you still have something to work with. And I'm bringing up the Nationals because over the weekend, they had two really, really highly touted young kids not on the opening day roster in Carter Kiboom and also Luis Garcia. National fans should not need the panic. Kiboom is going to be just fine. Garcia is going to be just fine. It's a 162-game season this go-around, not a 60-game season. And I like the Washington Nationals an awful lot. I think they have amazing depth.
That is going to be a fun division to watch. I'm interested in the Nationals from that perspective. Again, you mentioned the 1-2 at the top of the rotation with Scherzer and Strasburg, but then it's that back end of that rotation, and can that back end live up to those expectations? And again, if you don't have a guy on that opening day roster, that's not necessarily an indictment of that particular player. It's an indicator that, yeah, this is not last season. It's not a sprint. It's a long race. And so don't feel that. I know there's a lot of, going back to the Dodgers for a second, there's a lot of speculation about Gratterall not making the opening day roster, or even a Dustin May not making the opening day roster. I don't need Dustin May to be lights out in May. I need Dustin May and Roger Gratterall to be lights out in September and October. Same thing with the Nationals. I need those guys to be around at the end of the year. I need Juan Soto to stay healthy. I need Trey Turner to stay healthy. And I need those guys to be effective in October, not necessarily the second week of May.
All right, who's the best team we haven't talked about in either league? I don't care if it's American League, National League. Who's the best team that we haven't mentioned yet?
The White Sox. They scare me to death.
Even with the injury to Jimenez.
The American League Central, I'm sorry to interrupt, they're the only team in the American League Central that has both hitting and pitching. The rest of the American League Central is god-awful at pitching. They have no rotations. None of these teams have rotations. None of these teams have depth on the pitcher's mound, except the White Sox. They have one little hint of it here or there. That's going to be a fun division to watch. The White Sox, if they play the way they did last year, they're going to win 95 games this year. They're going to be very, very good.
Yeah, I know that it wasn't the best start, especially with the injury to Eloy Jimenez, but with all this, you know what seems to have been forgotten? The fact that Tony La Russa is in the dugout for the White Sox this year.
Yep, because Tony La Russa will work magic. He will make mind-boggling moves that will drive White Sox fans insane. He will frustrate you. He will slow things down. He will question you. You will question everything he does, but they'll win games, and that's all that matters. And in that division, that American League Central is going to be the most exciting division to watch because all these games are going to be like 10-8 games. Because, again, they have zero pitching. All these other teams, like the Twins and the Royals, who are going to be fascinating to watch this year. I'm excited about the Royals. That's going to be a fun division to watch this year because they have explosive offenses all up and down that division, but they have lousy pitching on all those teams as well.
Yeah, if I'm talking American League, and I don't disagree with you on the White Sox at all, but if I got to go to the American League, I really like the Twins, and I get stuck on the Twins every single season. What is it, 18
Everyone
years?
Everyone does.
Yeah, I know. They've lost 18 consecutive postseason games. 18
yep.
consecutive postseason games. And, you know, but when you look at it, they have some guys that I really, really like on this roster front to back. I mean, if we're talking about Sano or Josh Donaldson or Nelson Cruz, they may, in fact, what I just said right there, that may be the best power trio in the American League. Seriously.
Oh, sure. And they're gonna hit the ball like they always do. Remember 2019 when they led the league in home run hitting and everything. I mean, they're gonna rake. But they're going to go only as far as their pitching takes them. But fortunately for them, or maybe unfortunately for them, that's going to be the case with every other team in that American League Central. That's going to be the case for all those teams. And I guess going over to the National League for a second, I don't know how you feel about it. We both live sort of regionally around the area. I feel so bad for Rockies fans because they didn't ask for this. They didn't ask to lose Arenado. They didn't ask for this. And now they're getting beat up in the last week of spring training with injury bugs right now. That's just killing that organization.
Yeah, I've always felt bad for Rocky fans. Really, I always have. And I'm not being condescending when I say this. Okay, I'm not. And I hope that Rocky fans understand that when I say I am not being condescending, but this is an organization that has failed their fans. And so I never tease or I never try to shoot down Rocky fans when they have a glimmer of hope, of excitement, because this organization, Steve, in my opinion, is the epitome of what's wrong with professional sports. You know, we always talk about the Dodgers are buying a championship. No, look, it's professional sports. You are supposed to. That's what you do. When you look at what is wrong with professional sports, I look at the Colorado Rockies. They are what is wrong with professional sports. The best thing that the Colorado Rockies can provide the baseball public is it gives you an opportunity to go out and watch a Major League Baseball game, and you don't have to break the bank to do it. That's what the Colorado Rockies offer the baseball community.
And that's it. And they don't care about the product because, I mean, they basically said it as much. They care about the in-game experience for their fans, which is a noble concept, I guess. But if that's your marketing gimmick, hey, come go watch a Rockies game and you can sit in the rock pile and it only costs $5 and blah, blah, blah. If that's your MO and at no point in time are you addressing, yeah, we're never going to compete for a championship of any kind, but you can come watch a Major League Baseball game in this really cool setting. And it is a really cool setting. Coors Field is beautiful. But if that's your MO, then that's your MO. And the expectations of fans every year is like, we'd like to see them win a game. But no, that's not this team's MO. And again, to go back to your premise, if you're a Major League Baseball organization, if you're a professional organization in any sport, and your MO is, hey, well, we're an alternative to this, you know who you are? You're the 1980s and 90s version of the LA Clippers. That's what you are. You provided people in Los Angeles an opportunity to watch an NBA game against with really good teams on the court. Oh, yeah, and then there's the Clippers. because that's what they were in the 80s and 90s. When it was all showtime at the Forum and the L.A. Lakers with Magic Johnson and Byron Scott and blah, 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 and they were winning championships, the L.A. Clippers were your alternative. That's what the Colorado Rockies are to Major League Baseball. They are the Clippers of baseball.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that statement at all. So, Steve, before we end, now it's time for the moment of truth. You and I always give out our predictions. Go ahead, give me the divisional winners in all three leagues. Who wins the division?
National League West, it's the Dodgers by many. National League Central, it's the Cubs narrowing out the Cardinals. National League East, it's the Braves narrowing out the Mets. Padres and Mets are the wild cards. Dodgers win the National League. Over the American League, I've got the Athletics edging out the Astros in the American League West. I've got the White Sox way ahead of the Royals in the American League Central. I've got the Yankees narrowing out the Blue Jays in the American League East. Wild cards are Astros, Blue Jays. American League champions are the Yankees. And the World Series between the Dodgers and Yankees, Dodgers win in six.
Okay, I'm going to go with
defending the World Series champion.
There you go. There
LA
you go.
Dodgers,
you almost violated your own rule.
I did. I had to correct myself. Thank you.
I'm going to go with the Dodgers in the West. And again, I do believe they win this by anywhere from 9 to 13 games. I think the Dodgers run away with it. In the Central, you know what? I really like the Brewers this year. I really do. I love the outfield as well. Jackie Bradley Jr. is a very under-the-radar signing when you look at Bradley and Kane and Yelich. I think Yelich is going to have a bounce-back season. I'm going to go with the Brewers in the Central. In the East, I like the Washington Nationals. I think as far as the wild card is concerned, I'm going to say the Atlanta Braves and the San Diego Padres. Those are our playoff teams. Am I leaving the Cardinals out of it? Yeah, I'm going to leave the Cardinals out of it because I think that the East and the West are that much better. When I go over to the American League, in the East, I like the Yankees. In the Central, I like the Twins. In the West, the West is, you know, that is there a more difficult division to peg than the AL West? Can I ask that?
No, this is not a difficult division. The Angels are garbage. The Rangers and Mariners are twice as much garbage. And it's a two-team race between the Athletics and the Astros. It's a two-team race. Either go with the pitching of the Athletics or you go with the hitting of the Astros. And Carlos Correa, because he's not going to re-sign, Carlos Correa is going to put up gigantic numbers and he's going to keep the Astros in contention all year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the A's.
Okay, there you go.
And then as far as my World Series is concerned, Steve, you know what? Give me the Dodgers A's. I'm going to go Dodgers A's. I want a repeat of the 88 World Series. I've wanted that for a little while. Typically, I peg the AL champion to come out of the West. If it's not going to be the Yankees, I'm going to go with the A's this year. Give me the Dodgers A's, Dodgers repeat. That's my World Series prediction.
And forgive me if I'm stepping on your territory here for a second. Our lack of picking the Padres to win the National League West is based on two things. Number one, we're Dodgers fans. Number two, it's reality. They're a great team. This is by no means an indictment of the San Diego Padres. But the players they signed, particularly on the pitching side, they signed Blake Snell, who's going to have a monster year because he's got a lot to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder. But the rest of the guys they signed, in the 2020 season, the truncated 2020 season, have injury issues. Yu Darvish is going to go on the DL at some point in time, and he's going to miss four, and he's going to miss 2 to 3 months. That's what they do. That's what these guys do. They're going to go on the DL. Clevenger's going to miss the entire 2021 season, this entire season. LeMay is an injury issue that's going to happen again. That's going to be the downfall of the San Diego Padres. It's not a disrespect thing. This is simply an issue of, from an injury standpoint, there's going to be problems with that pitching rotation.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest as we talk Major League Baseball. Steve, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of you. I know you've been very active with podcasts lately.
Yeah, I just got a new one up today, as a matter of fact, but a new one online this week, and that's available online on Twitter. You can find it on my Twitter page. You can follow me there at Radio Durango SB. You can also find it on Facebook with Sports with Steve Bordstein on Facebook, and you can also find that there and much, much more. And I'm also happy to be doing some great radio work with the folks up at Four Corners Broadcasting. You can check out their work on Facebook at Radio 101.
Steve, always a pleasure. I look forward to doing it again real soon. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a great day, sir.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.